We were just singing about a time when Jesus will come to take us home. It is encouraging and uplifting to be with people that are making the journey to heaven. I have been greatly encouraged through this week by being in the presence of each one of you that have been here. Thank you, Brother Darrell, for leading these good songs. I'm always uplifted to be around John Mark. We kid each other a lot, but let me tell you, a person that has a good heart and loves the Lord like that is an inspiration. It's been encouraging to see people like Dave and, of course, Betty's mother and others who, under difficult circumstances, keep pressing on. Thank you for that. It's helping me make the journey to heaven. It's encouraging to see people bringing their little babies as we make the journey to heaven. It really is. I've mentioned, and I'll say again, it's encouraging to be in the presence of young preachers that have taken that torch of truth so that when some of us are gone, they'll still be here. Thank you, Ethan, for being one of those. It's uplifting to be with people making this journey and fighting this good fight of faith. Fight for your salvation. Fight to save your husband. Fight and mean it. Save your wife. Save your children. Save your grandchildren. Fight to save every precious soul that will listen to the gospel of Christ. It's encouraging to have our Filipino friends here. They came all the way from the Philippines just to hear me preach. Imagine that. Well, not quite. They live in Lebanon. But I know their relatives back in the Philippines. We're studying the theme of moral truth in an amoral age. And there will be an opportunity to ask questions after this lesson. Tonight, I want to think about the truth about social media. Open your Bibles to a verse that might be familiar, Proverbs 4:23. We're going to read this in several translations. Social media engage the heart. And this passage teaches us that it's important to focus on what happens in your heart. Starting with King James, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Another translation, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's right. Again, above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So everything we do has its origin in the heart. Social media engages the heart, and that's why we need to study the lesson on the truth about social media. Social media are not evil, and it'll not be my purpose to suggest that at all. They're merely avenues of communication. And so we communicate all kinds of words about all kinds of topics, and we convey attitudes even in that way. We advocate certain causes, pro and con. We share pictures, and there are all kinds of leaks and icons and symbols. There's nothing at all wrong in the passing of information and communication. And the platforms are beyond number anymore. You've got the Facebook and WhatsApp, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Zoom, email, cell phone messages. And it just keeps growing, doesn't it? I checked today, the latest statistics show that 67% of the world population has access to the internet. That's a whopping number. So social media are touching people all around the world. It'd be hard to read this chart, but it's listing the main reasons, not all reasons, just the main reasons people use social media: staying in touch with family, looking for products, following the news. They are sometimes watching live stream that's been utilized this week, and just all sorts of things. And so again, there's nothing evil about that. That's a great convenience for us to have at hand. But now here's the challenge: in all forms of communication, social media can project God, but also project Satan. Social media can project the light of truth, but also the darkness of sin and error. So I think of what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Every time I touch any form of social media, the light of God's truth, the light of God's truth should be seen. You know, one time Peter heard Jesus refer to his coming death, and he protested, "No, you must never die, Lord." And Jesus said in Matthew 16:23, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. What you have said hinders me and my work. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." He rebuked Peter. Would the Lord have to rebuke some of us for what we're sending and saying through social media? Would he have to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? Would he have to say, "You're hindering my good work"? Would he say, "You're conveying the mind of worldly men and not the will of God"? I hope the Lord would not have to rebuke me in that way. Remember when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he was speaking of things that are not necessarily sinful, that we touch, that we use. He said, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." There is the marker we need. Every time we touch any form of social media, it should be done to the glory of God. So, to project God and light, we need to see both sides of the coin. We need to understand the dangers of social media, and we need to see the potential for using it in good ways. And I want to touch both sides of that tonight, starting with the dangers of content in social media and thinking about dangers to our time in the use of social media and the dangers of obsession with social media. But I want to spend several minutes emphasizing we can use all of these avenues of communication for good, for truth, for right. We can. So study with me a few minutes about the dangers of content in social media. I'll start with content causing anxiety. There are many people that suffer anxiety because of what's going on in exchanges through social media. Now, Proverbs 21:23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." If I don't guard what I'm saying, if I get embroiled in abusive exchanges, I am going to suffer distress and anguish and anxiety. Our self-worth and peace of mind can be marred and greatly disturbed by abusive exchanges through social media. And there are actually cases where people have been so embroiled in such things and so depressed by how they are being labeled and criticized and denigrated, they take their own lives. So let me say this to you, please. Your value as a person in this world is not determined by your social media presence and standing in the eyes of other people. And so when people are abusive, you would do well to dismiss such communications. There is something called delete with social media, and it's good to use delete if people are abusive in the things they have to say. But do not get embroiled in such exchanges. Well, another danger is content expressing ungodly pride. Here's an interesting verse, Proverbs 25, 27. Now, I love honey. I don't know if you like it or not. I grew up in South Florida. Some of the best honey you can have is orange blossom honey. But the Bible says too much honey is bad for you. And so is trying to win too much praise. There's nothing wrong with being honored and complimented and encouraged. We all need that. But honor should be the result of being honorable, not the result of puffing ourselves up and becoming braggarts. We ought not to be focused on seeking the approval of other people through social media. We need to be focused on seeking the approval of Almighty God. The danger of content, corrupt words and pictures. And this is becoming a growing problem, as you know. I want to say it is shameful conduct to post or approve immoral and immodest things that are posted. Let's read Psalm 101, verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. I'm not going to follow and associate with men that focus their eyes on wicked and evil things. I want you to know there are a lot of wicked and evil things being passed around on the internet and through social media. And it is shameful for us to become participants. Here again, we need to be very proficient. Delete, delete, delete when needed. Ephesians 4:29 says this. Let no harmful language come from your mouth. Only good words that are helpful in meeting the need. That's an excellent admonition. And that applies to the use of social media. We should not be posting things that are evil, immoral, immodest, and we should not be indicating approval when friends do post such things. Before I leave this, I'll mention a new word in the English language of the year 2005. You have likely heard the word sexting. Sex, X-E-X. But then it's a verb, sexting. Sending sexually explicit messages or images by cell phone. People are taking pictures of themselves in the nude and sharing it with their friends. I'm embarrassed to tell you, I have actually seen one such picture. But it's even more embarrassing to tell you how it happened. I was standing with a group of preachers ready to have their picture taken, and one of them was holding his cell phone in his hand, and there was his nude picture on his cell phone. That's just a little reminder that says Christians are not exempt from the temptation that social media creates. No, we should not post. We should not even be taking such pictures. But we should not post or approve when people are doing such things. The content of spreading gossip, strife, and lies is dangerous content. In Proverbs 6:19, where God is listing things that he especially hates, a false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. By sharing gossip, we spread the fires of unnecessary controversy and conflict. And if God hates this, we should hate it. And if God hates it, we should seek to prevent it. So again, if people send gossip and strife and lies, delete, delete, delete. Do not share that kind of post. Proverbs 16:28, and evil man sows strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Spreading gossip can destroy relationships. And so rather than spreading things when we don't even know if it's true or not, we either need to find out if there is a factual basis or we should delete it. But we ought not be sharing things of this kind. There's a lot of angry speech. When you think about dangers of content, now we need to be reminded a hot tongue and a hot temper lead to a very hot destiny. The name of that place is hell. We need to restrain our temper and our tongue. Proverbs 17 and verse 27. A truly wise person uses, what does he use? Few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. One of the greatest dangers of social media for any of us, including myself, you receive something, you read something, and you just react rather than reflecting before you react. A truly wise person reflects first and then chooses his few words carefully. In Matthew 5:21-22, under the laws of Moses, the rule was, if you murder, you must die. But I have added to that rule to tell you that if you are only angry, even in your home, you are in danger of judgment. If you call your friend an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse him, you are in danger of the fires of hell. There's a lot of text messages flowing all the time that express anger and that call people by terms that are meant to curse and denigrate, that are meant to express spite and bitterness and hatred. And so again, we need to be very proficient about this delete procedure. And we do not need to jump in to these very heated exchanges where the temper and the tongue are running out of control. Dangers of content, disrespectful content. And this one gets my attention because I think this is an area that I need to pay attention. Philippians 4:5 says something very beautiful. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. The Lord is always near at hand. He needs to see that we're gracious in how we handle every situation and every person. We need to maintain balance and graciousness when we disagree with family members. You ever disagree with a friend? Ever disagree with your boss? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but does anybody here ever disagree with your government? I know every hand would go up, so there's no need to do that. But that's why I said I need to pay attention to this, because I sometimes have those disagreements, and the Lord is expecting me to express it with graciousness. Do I think of that before I speak in criticism? 1 Peter 2:17 says, show proper respect to everyone. And then love the brotherhood of believers. When believers have disagreements, do they always speak graciously? I'm afraid not. Fear God, honor the king. When we express our disagreements with the king, do we always express it graciously? Ron Halbrook, listen to this. Dangers of content with social media. Content showing approval of ungodly content. Brethren, some of us just must plead guilty on this one. Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the useless works that darkness produces. Instead, expose them for what they are. Do not approve and do not participate in things that God does not approve. What are you talking about, Ron? Well, let's just put it on the table. My friends go to the beach and have a beach party, and here they are with almost no clothes on, and they send me a picture of the beach party, and I put thumbs up. No, I should not be putting thumbs up. These friends are having a beer party, and they send me a picture of the celebration, and I post thumbs up because that's my friend, so I'm supposed to have thumbs up. No. 1,000 times no. Why do we put symbols to approve of things that we know are wrong when we do it? Now, this is one of the dangers of social media. We react trying to please our friends. Either delete those pictures or do what Ephesians 5:11 says, use that as an opportunity to expose them for what they are. Well, let's think about social media dangers to time. We're going to answer to God as stewards of our time. It is a limited resource given by God. We will be answering for this. In Psalm 90, there's a meditation on the brevity of time and the vastness of eternity. Psalm 90 begins by expressing that God is from everlasting to everlasting. But drop down to verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. They pass quickly. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80, 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, maybe 80. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off. And we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? God's anger is shown in the reality of death. Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. We should reverence God. But look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. If I know I only have a few days, how ought I use those few days? With wisdom, so carefully. I think about Matthew 16:26. We should assess all of life's gains and activities and losses and ups and downs. Whatever's going on in our life should be assessed in the light of eternity, because that's where we're headed, one day at a time. Jesus said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Am I using my time in a way that's going to cause me to lose my soul? Or in a way that will save my soul? I really need to think about that. Remember the parable of the rich man in Luke 12? I'll tear down my barns and build bigger, and boy, I'll just live forever and enjoy it. But God said unto him, Luke 16:20, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Do I use my time, invest my time in things that make me rich toward God, treasures in heaven? I really need to think about that. Now, social media would just be one part of that picture, but it plays a part in that picture. How do we use our time? And how do we answer to God if we waste our time in vain activities that are taking us away from God? How will we answer to Him for doing that? We can't answer for doing that, because it's wrong. We're so thankful and we're encouraged to have these young people in the audience. Thank you. We need to learn something even while we're young, which is this. Life passes quickly, and it passes by stages and steps. So learn to think of your life as stages and steps. In Ecclesiastes 3, you remember the passage where Solomon said, to everything there is a season. Seasons pass, don't they? He's saying, learn that life has seasons, stages, steps, time for to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. I could ask some of these young people, do you remember when you were riding a tricycle? And then do you remember how fast that time has passed? And the stage you are right now will soon be just like that. Because believe it or not, just a few minutes ago, I was in your shoes. I was exactly the age you are. So this is not something bad about life, but it's just learning how to deal with life. It passes in steps and stages. And so in Ecclesiastes 11:9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. I love this passage. I think partly because I've experienced what it says. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Our wonderful God designed life with its stages and seasons, that the days of youth are especially enjoyable. They really are in so many ways. He said, and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. It means when you're young. There's all kinds of things to learn. There's new places to go. There's new things to do. And you'll do all of that in seasons and steps and stages. But finish the verse, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. I'm going to answer for the things I did in the days of my youth. So I need to start while I'm young, thinking about these matters, measuring my days, carefully moving through those seasons of life. And social media is going to be a part of all that story. Remember Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, 10 wise and 10 foolish. And they came to a wedding feast, but they brought lamps because the bridegroom was delayed. And they're going to be waiting in the darkness for his arrival. And the wise virgins brought extra oil for their lamps. And the foolish virgins did not think ahead and plan and bring the extra oil. I pick it up in Matthew 25:8. The foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Time is passing. The stages of life are passing for each one of us. But the Lord's going to come somewhere, sometime, and we don't know when that will be. So in the meantime, are we prepared for it? And are we preparing for it? How are we using our time? So I've spent a few extra minutes to challenge us to reflect on time as a limited resource. Just like you have certain talents, we answer to God, how did we use our talents? And he gave us time, another resource. We answer to God, how did we use it? So let me just go straight to the point. How much time do you spend in front of a TV screen? I'm not saying TV is wrong. I watch TV. But how much time do we spend in front of a TV screen? How much time on the internet? How much time with a cell phone? How much time using social media? And how about if we add all those up, and what would the total be then? And does it matter? And yes, it does matter, because we are using a limited resource called time in that regard. Here are a few quick statistics. Did you know people ages 8 to 10 spend approximately 6 hours a day in front of some screen? Ages 11 to 14, 9 hours a day. Ages 11 to 18, 7.5 hours a day. Ages 18 and above, 11 hours a day. Now, that's an average, and it's not every person, but that means some people spend more than that and some less. How much time do I spend? On the average, people spend 44% of their waking hours looking at a screen of some kind. And not all of that's wrong. I want to keep repeating that, but there is an issue that my time is a limited resource. How am I using my time? All right. Now, studies have been done on the risk of too much screen time, especially for young people. Here's a quick rundown of some of the dangers. Stunted brain development because fixated on a screen. Weight gain and obesity because of lack of exercise. Exposure to all kinds of inappropriate content. We've already spoken to that. How about being exposed to advertising too much? How about eye strain and headaches? That's been the result for some. And poor sleep habits. And it affects their work in the schoolroom. And even the loss of socialization. In other words, isolating themselves because their time is fixated. I've seen this, and you've seen this, and we've all grinned about it, remarked to our husband or wife in the restaurant, here's a couple, maybe a young couple, sitting at a table waiting for their meal to come. Are they visiting and talking and enjoying each other? Nope. They're staring at a phone the whole time, waiting for that meal to come. It isolates us. We need to think about that. All right, now use that to step into this part. Social media dangers of obsession. So we're talking about time. Now, being obsessed, what is obsession? Obsession is something that destroys our self-control. Dictionary definition, an unhealthy and compulsive preoccupation with something or someone. So something rises to the level of a first priority, and it controls everything else you do. All right? Social media can become obsessive. Satan can utilize that and take advantage of that. He can turn normal, appropriate interest and activities into an obsession. For instance, you might be interested in the news. Since I used to be a history teacher, I'm one of those people. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Maybe you follow the sports. Maybe you have hobbies and you like to spend time on your hobbies. Nothing wrong in that. There's all kinds of good entertainment. We don't have to gamble or drink to be entertained. There's lots of good entertainment. Some people enjoy cooking, and I'm glad because I enjoy eating. My wife's a good cook, and I'm a good eater, and we have a good marriage. But could my interest in cooking become an obsession? This is what I'm asking you to think about. Maybe you have other skills. Maybe you're like me. Cooking just ain't one of them. But maybe you're really interested in carpentry or painting or other skills. Nothing wrong with that, of course. Or, like I said, history, or it might be science or politics or civic service. Maybe you're one of these people that likes to be active in community events. And I salute you if you do that, because we need that good Christian influence in the community. But the point I'm asking us to think about is, any one of those can become obsessive. So it begins to rule your life. It begins to be the first priority. You begin to push other things to the side. So now I want to read 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. It means morally alert, always watchful, cautious. Be vigilant, literally watching, watchful, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This is a war, and you should know your enemy. And one of the tactics of our enemy is creating obsessions. Now see, one of his tactics is just attracting me to do things that are outright sinful. Might be gambling or drinking or adultery or some other. But listen, here's another tactic, and this is a smooth one. I get so wrapped up in some innocent activity, it becomes the priority, the obsession of my life. And so Satan is now holding me. I'm not serving the Lord the way I could and I should. Now listen, we're up against an enemy that is shrewd and vicious, because that obsession can destroy my soul in hell, though the activity itself was innocent. 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. Paul teaches us, reminds us that God, not men, not things, must be the guide of our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me. He's not saying sinful things, but he means you could draw a circle around all the good and right things, all these things that are lawful. But here's his point. But all things are not expedient or helpful. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Did you catch that last point? Don't be brought under the power of some activity that will become an obsession and a stumbling block. Here from the New International Version, the same verse, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Because of my interest in history, I could take a lot of weekend trips and explore historical sites. And I would really enjoy doing that. And then I wouldn't be able to worship God. How about that? I will not be mastered by anything. Social media obsession will open a lot of wrong doors. Proverbs 10, verse 19. You will say something wrong if you talk too much. So be sensible and watch what you say. Truly Solomon was a wise man when he said that. And the danger of social media is, if I become obsessed, I will be talking too much. I'll end up saying things I don't need to say. Proverbs 15, now verse 1 to 4. Here's good advice for social media or any communication. A gentle answer turns away anger, but harsh words stir up wrath. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools blurts out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the wicked and the good. The tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. If social media become an obsession, I am very likely to be involved in these harsh, angry, bitter exchanges that I don't need to be a part of, and my mouth will soon be blurting out foolishness. And the Lord will know it, verse 3, and so I might need to pull back and not be drawn in to that obsession. And I might be able to make my tongue more like a tree of life that's healing and helpful. Obsession. Social media obsession prevents and destroys true friendship. I met the new president of Florida College. We were just talking about education, and I used to teach school. I could enjoy teaching at a college, but this got my attention. Does this get your attention? He said, one of the shocking things I learned about this new generation when I took the job, they're not dating. They're not dating. Why? They're at the right age. That's when I was shopping and found my good wife. They're all in their rooms playing video games. How do you develop friendships if you're so obsessed with video games that you can't be with friends? I will agree that the proper use of media could be an asset to friendship because you communicate as friends. But becoming obsessed, you won't be able to make that connection. Proverbs 18, 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. It means I have to invest my time with someone to become a friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Have you ever had that kind of friend? Give you the shirt off their back. I have some friends like that. I bet you do. That's a blessing. That's a gift. But if you are obsessed with social media, you won't have those friends. You won't develop those relationships. That's the danger of obsession. Obsession, see if you can agree with me on this. It overrules our proper sense of priorities. So quickly, I won't read all the verses, but what are some good priorities? Well, I'll start with seeking and loving God first. Matthew 22, 37, 38. Remember that? Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. If I get obsessed with social media, I just don't have time for that. Loving God, serving God, worshiping God. I don't have time. I'm playing my video games Saturday night till 5 o'clock in the morning. You think I can get up and go to church? Don't have time for that. How about this priority? Love and serve your family. Colossians 3, 18 to 21 gives short outline of family duties. To love and serve my family, I have to give attention. I have to invest time with each one of them. But how about people that are so wrapped up in social media, they don't do that? The children, the husband come home, there's no supper. The wife's been in front of the TV all day. Husband can't hold a job because he's so wrapped up and obsessed with his cell phone and his gaming. He can't hold a good job. You see how obsession destroys our priorities? How about loving and serving the saints of God? Because Matthew 25, 40, remember Jesus said, when you help one of my brethren, you do it for me. But I don't have time to give attention to you because I'm so wrapped up and obsessed with my social media. How about love and serve our fellow man? Galatians 6:10, do good to all men as you have opportunity. So pay attention if my neighbor is sick or maybe have a surgery, or I might notice the grass has been growing, they haven't mowed the yard, I might go over and check on them. Might be a reason they need help. But if I'm locked in my room playing my video games, or I'm always in front of my computer, I don't have time to pay attention to that. You see how this interferes with proper priorities? And what about this one, James 1:27? True godliness includes paying attention to people with special needs, like a widow or an orphan. Are there any widows in the church here? We have widows where I live. Do we take time to pay attention to them and reach out to them, encourage them, see if they might need our help? Well, if I'm all obsessed with social media, I won't be doing that. I don't have time for that. All right. What about Psalm 95:6 reminding us that we ought to kneel before the great God of the universe and worship Him even in private? But if I'm so wrapped up with my TV and my internet, my social media, my games, I don't have time for prayer and Bible study, and I don't have time to worship God. Would you agree that this obsession can overrule the proper priorities of a person's life? Let's turn this coin over before we finish this lesson. How about using all avenues of communication for good? Yes, sir, we can do that. We've talked about the dangers of content, but turn that coin over. How about spreading the content of truth? How about spreading the content of love? How about spreading the content of righteousness? We can do that just as surely as we can spread the wrong content. How about let's share scriptures, Bible verses through social media. Post your favorite verse. We converted a fellow where I preach from the black community. And you talk about talent, it's just rolling out of me. And he was shining shoes at the airport, and everybody that got in that chair, he'd smile and start a conversation. He'd say, what's your favorite Bible verse? And that's how he'd start teaching them about it. Including Mitch McConnell, the longtime senator from the state of Kentucky. He asked that man, what's your favorite Bible verse? He wasn't afraid of asking. How about that? Could you put your favorite Bible verse? Why couldn't you post that on social media? What about that? Could you make some comments with your verse? Why is it your favorite verse? What'd be wrong with us using media that way? Could we do that? If we just put some thought to it, you know we could do that. How about sharing things that you're praying about? Could you mention that? Been praying about something? Maybe some challenge? Maybe something good that's going on in your life and you're praying about that, giving thanks? How about posting information about the church and its work and its worship? How about posting that you heard Nicholas teach a Bible class from the book of Joshua, and just tell us a little something you learned in that class that helped you. Could you post something like that? Many churches have a website. All kinds of good information can be posted there. Many churches have a Facebook page. All kinds of good information can be posted there. Do you see, once we start thinking in this direction, there are endless opportunities to use this social media as a blessing. It doesn't all have to be a curse, but we need to put our minds to this. How about mentioning God? Just mentioning God often. If you're sharing things about your family and activities you're involved in, maybe you take a vacation and you're sharing some pictures and where you went, and could you just drop God's name in when you say, "We saw Niagara Falls, it must be one of the most beautiful things God made." Just a little something that keeps reminding people there's a God. How about that? Could we do that? We've been having a safe trip. We haven't had any accidents by the grace of God. Put our minds to it. Folks, there are numerous ways we can use the media for truth and love and righteousness. Tell how your faith in God overcomes the trials of life. Share that. Share that. Now, I need to add this. Answer criticism calmly. We talked about that in Philippians 4:5. Be gracious when you answer criticism. But the reason I'm mentioning it again, some people are just hotheads and troublemakers. And doesn't matter what you say, there's going to be flame throwing. And you just need to remove those people from your contact. Sometimes that's what you need to do, because you're not going to be drawn into that kind of conduct. Your focus is on spreading what? Truth and love and righteousness. So there are ways to do this. Redeem the time. We talked about time is a limited resource, right? Remember that verse that talks about redeeming it? Let's read the verse, Ephesians 5. 15 to 17. We're going to learn to pay attention to how we use our time to ensure God will be pleased with how we use our time. Ephesians 5, 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, that means careful each step, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Knowing the will of the Lord, knowing our time is a limited resource, let's use it as carefully as we possibly can. Redeem the time, including the time I spend with social media. So I'll circle back to this priority thing. We can use social media. Did you know we can use it and still maintain proper priorities? Why not? We can. You can use it and still seek and love God first in your life. You can do that. That's entirely possible. You can love and serve your family and use the media as an asset as needed, but the media is not your priority. Your family is your priority. Yes, sir, that's possible. You can love and serve the saints of God. Take time to help your brethren, encourage your brethren, serve your brethren in any possible way. Doesn't mean you have to throw away your cell phone. In fact, you might use your cell phone to check in on your brethren. Miss you at church Sunday night. If you've been sick, let me know. I'm ready to help. Can't we do things like that? Sure. We can do that. Love and serve our fellow man, Galatians 6:10. So if the neighbor's yard is all grown up, shut off the TV and go knock on the door. Y'all need any help? Just want you to know I'm here. You need me. We can do this. This is, folks, this is doable. How about giving attention to those people with special needs, the widows and the orphans? Let's touch base. Let's reach out to our widows and see what we can do and see if they need us. And we'll use our social media as needed. But the priority is going to be the widows and not the cell phone, not the TV, not the internet. And we can spend time in devotion to God, praying, studying the Bible, worshiping, and make use of media in appropriate ways. In fact, as you know, today, you can put the Bible on your phone. A while back, the elders were reminding us, you know, when we start the service, let's turn the cell phones off now. Let's get our minds on the worship. And so that announcement was being repeated quite a bit. One of our preachers was conducting a Bible class, and he saw somebody at the back, kept holding up their phone. So he just gave them a kind reminder. Brother, we really need to shut these cell phones off. He smiled and said, well, that's where I have my Bible. So, yes, we can use it appropriately, but we can use it in a right context, in a right priority. This is doable. We just need to make up our minds. This is what I'm going to do. I'm a Christian. I'm a servant of God, making a journey to heaven, and I'm not going to be sidetracked by anything. Social media or anything else. I cannot end without reminding you, please teach the children. They are not born with a knowledge of the things we've talked about tonight. That's why God gave children parents. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But they cannot know if we do not teach. So take control of the devices in your house and give your children the teaching and the guidance they need. Do not just turn it over to them. And part of the teaching means be the right example in how parents are using it. We're going to teach the proper expectations that we have for our children, insist on this, and back it up with discipline. That might mean the child is not following the guidelines and the child is not going to see TV for a week or 2 weeks, or the teenager's cell phone is going to be in your pocket, not in their pocket, for a week. You are the parent. Don't apologize. This is your work. God expects you to do this. Just do it with love, but be sure you do it. Guard your children. Guard them. Have access to any media they use. There's no such thing as they use it and you don't have a right to check on it. Don't you dare buy into that. And it's a good rule that they use it in open spaces. You don't let them go to their room and close the door. Open spaces. You can easily see what's going on. Limit their time on social media. Maybe you allow so many minutes for TV and so many minutes for a cell phone or some game, but set some limits. Set some limits. So we guard them against the dangers we've talked about earlier. Today, I have to add, sadly, the first industry that developed advertising through the internet was the pornography industry. They were on the ground floor, and they are experts at feeding that filth to people that are not looking for it. My point being, guard your children. you may need to put devices on the media that block and prevent pornography. Be awake and alert and on top of this game. That's all I'm trying to say. Teach the children. Because social media engages the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Social media are just avenues of communication. They can project God, but they can project Satan. They can project light, but they can project darkness. To project God and the light, then we have to see the dangers as well as the good uses. Watch for the dangers of content. Dangers in how we use our time. Danger of obsession. But let's focus on using the media in constructive ways. Make it an avenue of communication for good. And serve the Lord in that way. We talked about redeeming the time. Whatever time we spend in sin is lost forever. But by obeying the gospel, we redeem the time. One of the most important things we do in a service like this is to sing an invitation song. Brother Darrell has chosen "Just As I Am." What an excellent song. Because every sinner is invited to the cross of Jesus Christ. Bring your sins just as you are and lay them down and let the Savior wash them away. When Christians are fallen into sin, we can repent, confess these sins. We can pray together as 1 John 1 verse 9 teaches. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you long for that cleansing as a Christian tonight, when we sing this song, please come and let your desire be known. And then if you've never obeyed the gospel, you've been living in this world of sin, put your faith in Christ tonight. He loved you and died for you. Repent of every sin. Sin is awful and ugly. It's an abomination to God. Repent of those sins. Confess Christ. And then submit to Him. By faith in Him. By being baptized in water. Jesus said it in simple words in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that could be you tonight. But he that believeth not shall be damned. It means there's no other Savior. There's no other hope. Who's going to save you if not Christ? And so bring your sins to Christ and let Him wash them away in the blood that He shed. Come as you are and begin a new life and fight for your salvation and fight to save your husband and fight to save your wife. And fight to save your children. And fight to save your grandchildren. And fight to teach and save anyone who will listen to the gospel of Christ. Will you come tonight as we stand and as we sing?